Opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
It's time for Consider This, our weekly installment with my regular co-host, Robert Washburn. He's, of course, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College. Joining us in the studio are representatives of the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township. We're going to be talking to them about all things Hamilton Township, what's going great, probably not so much. So we're probably focusing on what really could be fixed. Before we get to that, because we're talking to the Citizens Coalition, here's John Lennon, Power to the People, on Truly Local Radio Northumberland 89.7. Welcome back. John Lennon, of course, with his classic Power to the People. That was the song that sort of got him on Richard Nixon's watch list, listeners, just so you know. As I say, joining me are Citizens Council of Hamilton Township. Gentlemen, why don't you introduce yourselves? All right, I'll do it. It's John Davison and Vince McGovern. They're both here this afternoon. You may have noticed that if you want to follow them on Facebook, which you can do at facebook.com/citizens.councilofhamiltontownship. Check that out. What's going on, guys? What's new and exciting? How's the summer going?
Very good. We've had lots of great weather, and of course, we're all suffering because of it. Our crops, our farmers are suffering, and our waters are down, and people's wells are going dry, and well, we're having fun.
We're having a good time. Can't water the lawn. I'm kicking the ball out with the kids on the brown lawn every day. That sounds like fun.
Oh, yes. It's good to get your feet dirty.
My God.
How are you finding it, though? We joke about this, but it's a pretty serious issue. Have you heard a lot about people's wells drying up, and how bad is it out there? Can you tell us what's going on the ground?
Rob, Vince McGovern here. I've heard from one particular contractor in the township where they've had about 200 phone calls for dry wells in the course of a 48-hour period. So it's a pretty serious factor. And I know on my own road, I see the water trucks, and there's new names on the sides of trucks with water tanks going by every day. And I'm sure they're just trying to keep up with the requirements to keep these wells filled up for folks.
Now, is it just only the rainfall that affects the wells, or are there deeper or more systemic problems out there?
That's a good question. Oak Ridge's moraine is a hot topic at the CCHT right now, actually, and we're looking at having a representative potentially come out in the month of September to discuss, because there's a lot of mixed messages out there with regards to usage and aquifers, and there's a lot of questions being asked by our membership where, you know, we don't have the answers for, and I personally can't talk about it. So we're going to have some sort of a representative show up for as a guest speaker.
It's interesting you say that, because I know right now there are currently two petitions that I know of right now on Some of Us dealing with Nestle and their massive amounts of water taking from areas here in southwestern Ontario. I don't know that they're doing any water taking here. I don't think we're an area where they are taking water, but that's a huge, huge problem. And of course, these large companies really don't care about the people that they're taking the water from. I mean, you know, if you look at the deal with Nestle's just recently, and again, I know this is a sideline, but they're paying $3.71 for 1 million liters. That's what they pay per 1 million liters. Now, I don't know what a bottle of water costs last time I went to the store, anywhere from $1.25 to $2 on the quality water, you know. But that's still water that they're taking in a large part from communities like ours.
Well, and also, too, I know from the past, when as development occurs in more and more homes and larger farming operations, the demand for water increases, and that pulls up from the aquifer and can affect things. I just wonder, too, I know that the depth of wells is also significant. Some of the more historic wells are not as deep as some of the more modern wells, and that affects things. But I know there's a lot of factors, but the rainfall has definitely had an impact on that. One of the other things that you mentioned, though, are farmers. And what are you hearing when you're talking to farmers out there? I know that people are losing. There's talk of a third or more of their crops are in danger.
Oh well, the one thing I have heard from one of the big players in the township was the thank God for crop insurance, and that we've kept up on our payments of premiums for the crop insurance, because this year they're going to have to tap into it. Their yields are way down, and you know, that's obvious when you drive by some of the once green cornfields. They're pretty brown right now, so. Those local farmers are definitely going to be hurting this year. Even the hay crop that came off in June, it was not that great. It was a decent crop, but they're not going to get a second cut. So that really slows everything down for requirements. The cattle guys and the dairy guys, they get their first on the list, and then the horse guys, you know, they're paying some premium bucks for their hay. So. There's going to be a shortage this year.
And too, there's a long-term effect as well, because they've got to have feed for that. It's going to last them the winter. And so a lot of these crops, this is what they're looking for, isn't
it? Precisely, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So maybe on a different note, let's talk a bit about one of the new issues that's emerging for you guys. I understand Harwood Waterfront is something that's up and coming.
Yes. Actually, we were asked to come out. One of the chair of the Friends of the Harwood Waterfront recently asked the CCHT to support their ongoing quest to increase the beautification of the Harwood Waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've gone and we've listened, and we are supporting them in their quest. There's currently some. I call them small issues that are underway that mm-hmm. are trying to, the township. We recently met with the mayor, and the township is looking at those different things. One of them in particular was the placement of toilets and that sort of thing, signage and mm-hmm. parking, and so that's being looked at as we speak. There are some other larger expansion plans underway or being looked at, mm-hmm. shall I say,
mm-hmm.
But nothing has been made official yet at the township level that we're aware of. We have seen some of those plans. We do support, but that's a long way off. So, in my opinion, there's some, some short-term things that could be looked at fairly quickly by the township. We have a new Parks and Recs manager in place now at the township, and he's, I understood, met with the Friends of the Harwood last week, mm-hmm. and they're moving forward with a plan to make things better. So,
yes, Rob. The biggest thing that they got focus on, too, was the fact that the boundaries for the park that the Harwood Dock is situated at, there was a discrepancy of where the actual boundary lines were.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down there today with my grandson actually fishing off the dock, and you can see where they have come in, and they have surveyed it, and the stakes are now permanently in the ground, so therefore now they know exactly where the park is now situated.
Mm-hmm. What difference does that make, and why was it an issue?
Well, it's an issue because they were going to place the washrooms down towards the southwest corner. So, therefore, they had to find out where the actual official property line is of the township park.
I see. When you talk, what's the relationship between your organization and the Friends of Harwood? Can you describe, just for people who maybe don't know the politics of it or don't know what these different groups are, could you just talk a bit about what each one and how it's different?
Well, the difference between both groups are the fact that the Harwood Waterfront people, they're dealing just strictly with Harwood Dock itself and the park area
mm-hmm.
and the gazebo.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to beautify it to the point where it draws more tourism towards the township, and they
okay.
want something they can call their own.
Yep.
Our organization just deals with all of the township, bring issues forward that are contentious with the public, and also what we want to focus on, I guess, is okay. what we want to put it that way. Things that are an issue with the citizens.
Okay. And so, there's a couple other areas as well, Rob.
Yep,
the Gore's Landing and the Beaudley Waterfront are two other fairly active and prominent locations that we know that the township is looking at.
So when you talk about giving them support, what does that mean? How does that work? What sort of things do you say? Like, go team? Or, is there...
we passed a motion on, I believe it was June 22nd of this year, that we would support the Harwood Waterfront in the motion basically for the replacement of the washrooms, the moving of the hydro pole, which is right in front of their gazebo, and it blocks the sign, and also just the beautification of the park itself.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three motions that we voted on.
Okay.
How were they received by council? Was that something the council said, okay, yeah, that sounds, these are pretty much no-brainers, we're going to go for that?
I believe so, but when they discussed it in council, they moved it forward with a report from the staff member who is new to the township. Not new to the township, new to the job. He lives in the township himself. And he actually met with them at the location. I believe they discussed a lot of issues of the cleanliness of the park. I believe they discussed the hydro pole, and they discussed the moving of the washrooms. So I think the first step in the right direction was the fact they now have it surveyed, so therefore now they can move forward with it and implement the next steps.
Right.
There's obviously other factors involved here. There's the neighboring residences and mm-hmm. where the property lines lie,
mm-hmm.
and there's the prevailing winds, and you've got three outhouses there, that, mm-hmm. if you will, that, you know, obviously they can smell.
In a hot, especially this summer, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very hot and humid.
Yeah.
But, you know, from my perspective, we were asked to come out to have a look, and they had the Chex TV out of Peterborough there, mm-hmm. To do a little video, and you know, it was quite apparent that, you know, some small changes could be made fairly quickly, and mm-hmm. And you know, move forward with some positive things.
Where do the monies come to make these kinds of changes?
Fundraising. This group is an incredible group of fundraisers. They're very mm-hmm. well organized, and they are raising money on a regular basis to make some of these things happen. They put up a gazebo already. They've got a display of heritage photos of the area and what it what it means to the community and. They've done a fantastic job.
Now, where is all that located?
Harwood, top of the Harwood Road.
Okay, so is that's in the community center at Harwood there?
No, right at the waterfront. If you follow that road straight on up, mm-hmm. it's where the old rail line used to cross
right.
Rice Lake. And, you know, it's a heritage, I don't know if it's a heritage site, but it's certainly got a lot of history to the area and you know, they're just trying to preserve that. So,
well, and rightly so. We're going to take a break. I know you want to say something next, but we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more of our conversation with the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township.
I'm Chef Michelle.
I'm Chef Michael.
You don't have to be a chef to savor the flavors of Chef's Corner.
Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 to see who we've cooked up for our special guests, and don't forget our skill tasting giveaway.
Join Chef's Corner to tap into the upcoming culinary season and stir the gourmet in you. It's all about food, eating in season, and keeping it local. Chef's Corner, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m.
Chef's Corner is proudly sponsored by the Cultured Kitchen in downtown Coburg, here on Northumberland 89.7.
Truly local radio.
Beat the hot, humid weather this summer with Pritchard's Climate Care. Have your home cool and comfortable by installing an air conditioner from Pritchard's Climate Care starting at only $2,800. For a free estimate, call 905-885-8216, 905-885-8216, or visit their website, pritchard-mechanical.com. At Pritchard's, we're not just your climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Come out Wednesday, August 31st to Hometown Bingo for their matinee and 7 p.m. sessions, Back to School Customer Appreciation. All regular games will be increased by $50. Second Chance Jackpot, $500. All patrons will receive a $10 coupon, valid from September 1st to September 9th. We are located at 884 Division Street. Call us at 905-372-5426 or visit us online at hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
Are you interested in volunteering? How about broadcasting? Come volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7. Call 905-372-2391 and volunteer today.
And welcome back to The Drive Time. My guests in the studio are members of the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township. And these guys have been active, trying to hold council to account, because that's kind of what everyone should be doing. That's how democracy works. I know you had a question.
Well, I was going to let John had a point he wanted to make just before we broke, and it's a really important clarification. So, John, would you go ahead and make that clarification?
Yeah, just to clarify about the waterfront people, when they fundraise, it's usually a 50-50 split with council. If they were going to, let's say, buy a park bench for $500, the committee would kick in $250, the township would kick in $250, and that's how the bench would be put there.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if anyone else saw this, but the Ontario Trillium Grant is being changed. And this is the very famous fund that a lot of organizations tap into. Jim Miriam had a column in tonight's newspaper, the Northumberland Today, about this and how the grants, I think you might remember these as Wintario grants back in the 70s.
Yep.
And then they've changed over time. And I mean, a lot of our arenas, community groups, clubs, choirs, this kind of thing, all have received money from that. And most recently, the Coburg rugby team, the Saxons received money. This is how the old arena in Coburg got changed around. The Coburg museums received money. When you talk about the kinds of groups and like yours out there that are trying to raise money for these waterfront projects and various other good community works, how hard is it to raise money? You say these guys are good, but how hard is it to raise money for these kinds of projects out there?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. It all depends, I think, on what the project is.
Mm-hmm.
If how many people are buying in.
Mm-hmm.
If folks are really excited about something, and you got some media coverage, and mm-hmm. You get everybody on board, and there's no complaints or concerns or issues,
mm-hmm.
then more oftentimes than enough, you're going to see some positive return.
Mm-hmm.
I know with the Friends of the Waterfront, for example, the Harwood Waterfront, they have been very successful in mm-hmm. in their endeavors. And I think they keep ramping up on a regular basis to look at bigger and better opportunities. The initial one-time visit out there to see what they've done, it's amazing. It's mm-hmm. it's incredible what a very small choice group of people have done to beautify, you know, the Harwood Waterfront. And it's fantastic.
How important? Oh, go ahead, John. You wanted to say something?
Just to add on to that, I believe, Rob, when it comes down to the fact that when Mayor Brockenier was as part of the warden for the county, was at the conference there today. I believe he brought up the fact that the municipalities require more money. We require infrastructure money. And a lot of this does partake in so-called these grants that are coming forward to small organizations who like the soccer clubs and what are you referred mm-hmm. to. I believe that what has to happen here is that we have to be proactive to say to our MPPs or MPs, this can't happen because the fact that these grants still have to come forward. We still have to keep these young people in organized sports. We have to keep them active.
Mm-hmm.
They want to take this ball and deflate it and say, okay, parents, you're now going to pay $500 instead of $100 to put your young person in soccer, let's say, or hockey. And this is, I find, very, very demeaning to a lot of families that are in need. And mm-hmm. the more needs that come up in today's society, it seems that the outreach is there for the public to give more money and give more money. Now, I know that Vince has referred to the waterfront people, how successful they are. They've run dinners, they've run barbecues, they've mm-hmm. run fundraisers, you name it, they've done it all, and they've done a very good job of it. When it comes down to it, you can only last so long mm-hmm. before yep. the well goes dry.
Well, it's not sustainable, absolutely.
It, basically, yes. Yeah. And this is where years ago when Minister Chan was down around the Rice Lake area, he went and looked at the Bewdley Park. And I believe at that time the grant was given to Bewdley to go ahead and put new docks in and accessible docks for the accessibility. Mm-hmm. And that was the one number one issue there was accessibility. They created a new park down there which is accessible to the public. And that alone, I think the park was around $750,000 just to have that playground equipment placed mm-hmm. in there. So they were there to do that. But now they're telling us, you know what, through these grants we're not there now. We're going to slowly decline to give the money out. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep it for some other issues, whether they want to have a tea party or what they're going to do up there in their offices. But they should not be cutting it back for the young children to partake in physical activity today. It just can't happen.
Well, I think this is what I was trying to get at was, you know, when these funds get cut back, especially in rural communities, we've only got so many pockets to reach into. And, mm-hmm. and you know, kudos to the various organizations for their great fundraising activities. But I agree, people get tired. It wears down. Volunteerism is harder to get people to come out mm-hmm. and to participate. One of the things that was said when your group was formed was that it wasn't just going to be about municipal and county politics, but there was also going to be some lobbying at the provincial and the federal level. Is the time coming when your voice is going to need to be heard at a provincial level on these issues of funding because we're just, in the rural areas, we're just not being seen and heard anymore?
I believe so, yes. I think if you have the citizens stand behind, even if a council came forward and passed a motion that they're going to do this and bring forward a letter towards some disgruntled fact that they can't get funding, if we can back them and say we have 125, 200, 300, 400, 500 members strong, maybe your local MPPs or MPs will look at that and go, do you know they're right? We have to listen to them because now they're stronger. The more momentum you have, the better it is, as far as I'm concerned.
That's interesting, because another provincial issue has been front and center for you guys as well. I understand hydro has been something you've been concerned about. Could you maybe tell us a bit about that?
It was all over Facebook this morning, Rob. The numbers I heard were $252 a month for the equivalent amount of energy use in Ontario $81 a month in Manitoba. So three times the difference. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, you know, we've got Darlington, Bruce, we've got Pickering, we've got all kinds of excess nuclear power, and they're selling it to the States and wherever else at pennies on the dollar. I don't understand why Ontario, the largest populated province in the country, is paying such extremely high hydro rates. You've got pensioners that are having a really tough time keeping up with these hydro bills. And, Kathleen Wynne's going to have to really step it up now and get this sorted out fast.
Well, you raise an interesting point because they are selling it. They're selling the excess energy abroad at cheap rates. So why wouldn't they just flip that?
Exactly.
Right? Sell it locally, and then if you're going to export it, sell it at a higher rate. But the problem I have, and this is a big story. I mean, sky high rates for Ontario Hydro. Now, the people who are in rural communities, like yourselves up there, you guys are being billed by Hydro One directly, right?
Correct.
You guys aren't on, like, lakefront utilities. No. Now, one of the things that we've noticed, and I know that this has been a topic of conversation in many of the major news outlets, is that if you are with, say, a lakefront utility or a Toronto Hydro in Toronto or whoever your local utility provider is, they understand that if they drive up the rates to the point where people can't afford it, that there's going to be blowback. So what they've been doing is, and I know that because the rates here in town, in Cobourg, people who are on lakefront utilities are actually a little less than the folks in Port Hope, and I know they're considerably less than what you guys are paying in Hamilton Township. So there needs to be, I think, anyway, and I know the Ombudsman's been looking at it, but we have a large rural population that is being underserviced, being underserved, and quite frankly, undervalued in terms of what they're bringing as a consumer base to our public utility. And this is really where I think we should be talking about going back to the Adam Beck model. If you quote unquote nationalize the hydro service in this province and bring it back to the public fold, you know, we really need to look at that. I think the provincial ombudsman has an obligation to the residents of this province.
Well, can you guys put it into context on a local level? I mean, everything you say is really critical across the board. But what is it like on the ground up in Hamilton Township on this issue?
Well, if I can just go back for a little bit,
yeah.
Rob, I believe today at the Warden's Caucus, when our county warden was speaking, he was talking about hydro rates as well.
Yeah.
And he brought that point up in the newspaper article, and I believe it's a very contentious issue with a lot of individuals, like you said, around throughout the province of Ontario, but not that, just Cobourg, Port Hope, and surrounding area, even all seven municipalities. So I believe what's going to happen here in this fall, I don't know when the fall is going to happen, maybe September, October, November, there's going to be an actual meeting where public can have input from groups and organizations on what's happening. And I know that when we met the mayor the other day with the CAO and we had a meeting with them, the mayor brought the point up where if we lose SABIC in Hamilton Township, we can look at maybe $200-$400 increase in your tax rates.
Okay, now can you just tell us, for those who maybe don't know, what is SABIC and what do they do and what's their role?
SABIC is an industrial complex, and it's down on Nomar Road. It's in within Hamilton Township, and they use electricity totally to run their operation. So when they had the meetings the other day to look at ways of cutting down or conserving energy, I believe the output that came from that meeting was there is no further cutbacks. They're done. So when their hydro rates increase, their productivity has to the products actually have to cost more, and then they turn around, the consumers suffer the consequences, or if they move and go somewhere else where it's cheaper, such as the U.S., Mexico, wherever it may be, if they find it cheaper there, then we're going to suffer through their tax base.
Do you have any idea the kind of impact it will have on people's tax bill, on the property tax bill? Any estimates or have you heard any sort of reaction to that?
Not specifically, with hydro rates alone, I think, John, forget about the taxes.
Yeah.
Hydro rates alone, which would affect us next month.
Yeah.
If that particular company shut down, for example, there would be, you know, massive increases to the rural taxpayer.
What are we talking? 25%, 50%, 100%?
Could be $200-$400 a month.
Really?
That's a lot of money.
Incredible.
We don't get those kind of increases. Our pensioners don't get those kind
of
increases.
No, of course not. Of course not.
The other thing, too, I wanted to mention is the fact that our organization, the CCHT, would like to start a subgroup that would actually investigate hydro rates and come up with a plan to approach the minister or approach the meeting in the fall to express our views of the actual hydro rates that we consume in Hamilton Township, and hopefully, you know, have their say and be a strong supporter of not having any increases.
Well, one of the things we don't often think about, too, we were talking earlier about farmers. I mean, you know, you have a cattle operation and you're running your milking machines on electricity, or, you know, you have your lights on with the chickens or however that is. I mean, that's going to impact them equally.
Absolutely. You know? Just a nightlight on at the barn.
Sure.
Tremendous increases there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, how do you account for that when, you know, the cost of goods are not going up that much, or the revenue from the sales of these products are not going up that much. It's a scary situation, and I think we really need, as taxpayers, is to start getting a little bit more vocal about it. CCHT, mm-hmm. in particular, we're not just, you know, jamming it down everyone's throats here and getting all mad and excited about it. We're trying to come up with solutions, and hence John's comment about the subcommittee mm-hmm. that we're forming right now. We want to bring some solutions to the table. You know, it was discussed earlier about farming some of the excess hydro into the States or wherever it's going at mm-hmm. pennies on the mm-hmm. dollar. Well, you know, let's look into that. Let's find out what exactly is happening and why is it happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are solutions. We're pretty smart people here in Ontario,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we just got to start talking about things a little bit more. And you know, when we met with the mayor this couple of weeks ago, he basically said that he doesn't get any comments from the taxpayer base, and you know, that's what we're all about, is bringing these issues to light.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for whatever reason, if he's not getting any comments, we're certainly getting tons of comments.
Wow.
And issues to deal with. So we're at the point right now where we're picking and choosing which area to focus in. So
right.
Hydro is obviously a huge one for us right now. So
wow.
Well, we know as recently as February of this year, the Toronto Sun had a big op-ed piece about how Ontario's hydro rates are the fastest rising in North America, and the problem I see is that it doesn't seem to be justifiable. As you said, I mean, we're producing at Bruce, we're producing at Niagara, we're producing at all these other great facilities, plus the people that are doing the renewable, the wind energy, and all of that. And so it doesn't make any sense to me that we would be oversupplied to the extent that we are,
mm-hmm.
and yet rates keep going up. I mean, usually if there's a glut on a market, which is what we're talking about here, an oversupply, then that would force the prices to come down. And yet we're not seeing that. And nobody seems to be able to give us an answer as to why that is. If you ask your local utility, and I mean, I've spoken to Lakefront a few times about this, why are my rates going up? The answer I always get is, well, the Ontario Energy Board says we can raise our rates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said to you before the show, I mean, just because you can do something
doesn't mean you have to.
I mean, if you can still operate affordably and at the same profit margin, I mean, if they were losing money, I can understand why they would be raising rates. But none of these companies is losing any money. So, I mean, I know you don't have the answers, but I think this is why people need to speak through groups like yours. And, you know, talk to the mayor. Let Mr. Loveshin know that, guess what? Yeah, this is a freaking problem. And there needs to be just cause. There'd be justification here, because at this point, there really is no reason on earth why hydro rates have just gone up again. And again, that'll come into effect September 1st, if I remember correctly, right?
That's right.
So if this is the case, I mean, and then you look at the other hit, which people are upset about, which is the HST that's now being applied. We're taxing a tax at this point because of the new carbon tax. So, I mean, we have a small tax base in Hamilton Township.
That's correct.
As you said, if the big companies like SABIC leave, that means your residential rates are going to have to eat the loss of that commercial load. So just, I mean, how much more can we take as taxpayers in this country when we keep seeing our services diminish but our costs go up?
Well, I think, and I'd like to know what your opinion is, gentlemen, but it seems to me that rural Ontario is getting a raw deal. I mean, you look at how hospital funding has gone for the last decade. You look at, you know, the way that farmers now are struggling and they're trying to take away now some of their market supply system.
Mm-hmm.
There's this assault on hydroelectric. You know, how is it? I mean, is this a part of a larger picture of how rural Ontario is getting the gear?
Well, I think, Rob, it scared me today when I read in the paper about how the Warden's Caucus is going to be discussing infrastructure and also municipalities. And it only leads to one issue, and that issue is amalgamation, annexation of smaller areas into larger ones. And that's something that the focus, we don't want to have to be focused on, but in the near future, you never know what's going to happen, because if the government looks at this overall picture and says, okay, you be self-sustainable, therefore you now have to join together as a group and become more efficient, that's what's really going to play on us right there, because that's your rates will increase then.
I don't think amalgamation is a form of efficiency, but we'll have that conversation. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of our conversation here with the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township and my regular co-host, Rob Washburn. I'm Dave Glover. Stick around. That's what.
Join me, Marcia Smoke, host of Debauge Moen, heard here the first and third Tuesday of every month. Join me as we introduce a variety of songs and stories from First Nation artists from across Northumberland and North America. We'll focus on current events with special guests from the Aboriginal community. That's Debauge Moen, Ojibwe for Our Stories, heard here every first and third Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Entering Stonewood Gallery is like visiting old and dear friends, but friends with impeccable taste. Here you'll find we feature the work of local and Canadian artisans, from custom furniture to antiques, wood turnings, jewelry, fine art, photography and giftware. It's all at Stonewood Gallery, just north of the 401 at 3311 Burnham Street North. Wednesday through Saturday, 10:30 to 5, come in and be delighted.
Northumberland Security has provided security solutions for over 38 years. From transponder car keys, alarm systems, surveillance systems, and handicapped door operators, they cover Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Northumberland Security prides itself on providing a comprehensive selection of personal and property protection at affordable prices with fast, courteous, and reliable 24-hour service. Located at 22 King Street West, Coburg. Call 905-372-8900 or visit northumberlandsecurity.com, the professional security team.
Do you like radio broadcasting and want to learn more? Volunteer with us at Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the Drive Time, everybody. And a big shout out to Pete Fisher, who is in the car, and he's listening. So if you are listening, by the way, our lines are open if you want to give us a call at 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391.
So I'd like to go back to the subject of amalgamation, because that's a really important one, and it's been a long-standing debate in this region for at least 25 years. Why do you think we're being boxed in economically to a point where we're just not going to have a choice, that this is going to be the ultimate solution? They'll find another name for it. They won't call it amalgamation. They'll call it, you know, ice cream or something. But we'll get a fresh name, and we'll all be being asked to do the same thing, which is to join municipalities so that we have a single larger municipal unit to which to tax and to run programs.
I think you're probably not too far off center, Rob, when you really think about it. There still is a motion on the table at County Council where I believe it was Linda Thompson at the time brought forward a motion of amalgamation annexation,
mm-hmm.
and looking at shared services.
Mm-hmm.
And that motion was seconded by Mayor Lovshin. And that motion is still alive and on the table. It has not gone away. It's still there. So that can be brought up at any given time. Now, that's quite a lengthy process to go through, as mm-hmm. you're well aware of, and it'll take years to do. But the first thing is, it's there. It's alive, and if it starts to grow legs, watch out.
Is it going to be an economic stick that's going to be used to beat taxpayers into agreeing to amalgamation? Is it going to be the kinds of scenarios that Vince was mentioning earlier, where seniors can't afford any longer to live in their homes,
mm-hmm.
when a farmer can't afford the electricity to run his farm? Is it going to be that kind of pressure that's going to come down? Whereas the last time we went through with it, I mean, it was literally a gun to the head. You know, I think it was former Premier Mike Harris just said, guys, got to shrink, find a way, and everybody had to do it. I wonder.
Well, I think, Rob, another municipalities that have actually amalgamated over the years are now wanting to separate and get back mm-hmm. out of it, because they found it far too costly. Their taxes rose, their bills rose, et cetera.
And now services
they
were cut.
Yeah, services were cut, yeah, so they want to get out of it. So I don't think that's going to happen because it's not manageable right now.
Well, I mean, all you have to do is just look down the road at Port Hope and the former Hope Township. I'm sure they could find a lawyer and get divorced, right?
Yeah, they
definitely have the lawyers. They just don't have the divorce yet.
Yeah. Well, sure, but even municipalities like Scarborough, for instance, I mean, right now they're struggling to get some kind of transit system in Scarborough, right?
Yep.
Now, before, when they were at their own city, they were able to negotiate a deal with TTC. Then they got their expansion up to the town center. The next step was going to be moving that RT out to the world of Malvern, which was just growing at the time. But the city of Toronto, which knows diddly squat about Scarborough or North York or York or East York, they've decided in their immense wisdom that that's the best way to service these people who they have absolutely no connection with whatsoever. And that's one of the huge problems of amalgamation, because as we saw with the amalgamation of Port Hope and Hope Township and Scarborough and the greater Hamilton area, all these things, there are people who get short shrift. The people who get screwed is probably the nicest way to put it. Because this was all an effort by the provincial government to reduce the amount of money that they were going to have to spend on municipalities. If you reduce the number of municipalities, then you can reduce the overall amount of money that you have to give to municipalities, which, of course, is a fraud. That's a lie. Just because you've amalgamated two communities doesn't mean that the services required by those two communities is diminished by half.
Was there any indication during your recent meeting with the Mayor Loveshind that this is still something that's floating in the back of his head?
Well, the recent meeting, I heard the word cost. At what cost? How much is it going to cost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a big issue, and we brought up some specific items at the first initial of the meeting with regards to equipment purchase and that sort of thing. You know, I think as a result of our group talking to the mayor, which, you know, first time in 14 years that I know of, we just finished a second meeting. I think we're actually starting to see some headway. They're listening to us. Are the action plans moving forward? Yeah, and you know, I say that very hesitantly because, you know, for example, the video videoing of the council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've approved the go ahead with that. They're going to start in September. So, you know, that's in my opinion, a direct result of the CCHT banging on their door, and let's get this open and transparent governance. I mean, that's the grassroots part of our organization, and that's what's got to happen, in my opinion, to get local municipal government made accountable and measurable to the people.
Mm-hmm.
If we let amalgamation, let's say, or you know, the county, for example, take over.
Mm-hmm.
I think gone are the voices of the local taxpayer. Your complaints will never be heard. It'll be washed under the carpet,
That's kind of the way it is right now, anyway, right? I mean, nobody gets elected to the county, right?
Well, the mayor's automatically.
The mayors are all on council because they've each been elected by their communities.
Right.
But when it comes to actual transparency and all of that with the county, it's like, as you say, you might as well be talking to yourself in a square room with no windows.
Well, John, jump in here, but I certainly, from my standpoint, from what I've seen so far, is the mayor represents Hamilton Township solely and completely at the county level. And I, like, he votes on behalf of 4,000 families in this township. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he agrees to certain things that, you know, we don't even hear about sometimes till well after the fact. I know there's some specific situations where we don't even think he's gone back to his own council to review certain items that have come up just recently, for example. And, you know, that to me, that's not open and transparent.
Well, no, and that is a great spot for our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk more about that, because if I remember correctly, pretty much everybody who campaigned in Hamilton Township campaigned on this notion of transparency. And we'll be back after just a moment to talk about that.
Hey, Northumberland, it's Jumpin' Jody here, inviting you to join me for my new show, The Early Morning Wake Up. Every Saturday from 7 to 9, we will help you kick off your weekend with lots of great music, info, and a segment called Things That Make You Go Hmm. So join me, 7 to 9, every Saturday morning, right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
I'm here with Ed White on the job. We're inside my refrigerator, and guess what?
It was a minor repair, well worth fixing, for far less than a new one.
Thanks, Ed. That's Ed White, Appliances, 51 Mill Street South, Port Hope, 885-7109.
Deep within the Northumberland Forest, there is a secret. Created by the spring-fed artesian wells of Mill Valley and bottled by Oak Ridge Springs, Mill Valley is a sodium-free, premium spring water rich in naturally occurring electrolytes and minerals. Visit oakridgesprings.com to discover which of their local retailers carry this natural, pure spring water, or reach them at 905-349-3495.
We're the radio station that's all about Northumberland. Listen every day for local news, interviews with local newsmakers, music by local artists, and so much more. We are Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
And welcome back to The Drive Time, everybody. My guests in the studio are the representatives of the Citizens Coalition of Hamilton Township, and of course, Rob Washburn, who is our regular guest here for Consider This Live. As I said before the break, I mean, transparency, accountability, those are the new buzzwords of politicos. If you want to get elected, you got to talk about transparency and accountability. But it doesn't seem to be that that has translated into any real tangible reality. And we have been dragging both here in Coburg. I know they just announced recently they're going to be, you know, airing their shows. But these people have been dragged kicking and screaming into the 21st century. How do we continue to make them accountable?
Well, if you go back a little bit in history, the provincial government passed legislation that municipalities and their own backyard should be more open and transparent. Then the ombudsman got involved, and the ombudsman basically said, yes, you must become more transparent to the public because the public want to know. Mm-hmm. And like you say, this is the 21st century. This is not 1945. Like when you say about dragging your council members kicking and screaming, there's a lot of issues that come forward in councils that you should have knowledge of. Recently, we just had a quarterly budget report that came out in Hamilton Township, and one of the council members looked at their computer screen and started mentioning about the fact that there was fuel costs for Bewdley and Baltimore arenas. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that on my sheet. So when I asked the treasurer afterwards, and we asked in that meeting, actually, with the mayor, it was explained to us that councillor is on the coordinating committee, and that councillor has access to that information. Well, that access for that information should be public. That should not be just a council member that has that information. It should be publicly given to us as a group. We were there, sitting there. We should have had it. Their excuse was, well, it's just a quarterly report. You don't really have to have those figures. Well, I find that very insulting to our group. And also, as Vince mentioned before about the cost, the mayor mentioned everything is a cost. Well, mm-hmm. We'd like to have the website of Hamilton Township more accessible. That website, as far as I'm concerned, is very antique. It's ancient. It should be upgraded and updated on a regular basis. There's grants out there for students, summer students, who are into computerized programs that can go in the municipality and upgrade that to a very sophisticated site.
Mm-hmm.
That has failed to be done. The videotaping, there's a cost to it. We are waiting to see what kind of costs are going to come out of that and what kind of bylaws or laws they're going to put down for council members when it moves forward with that towards its so-called birth. And these are things that we have to look at. Now, in council, they have so-called subcommittees that make decisions. Two councillors will meet in a subcommittee or one councillor. They will move the business of council forward, where the manager will then make a report out, bring it forward to council. The report comes forward as a recommendation or an action or whatever it may be brought forward as. And there's hardly any discussion whatsoever. Now, to be open and transparent, those meetings should be put on a public agenda. They should be saying, okay, what did you discuss at your coordinator's meeting?
How did you arrive at that decision?
Yes, and that could be done at Committee of the Whole. Once that's done, then the public have a better understanding of why they're going to purchase that piece of equipment or why they're moving forward with something that is going to be that affects us as the public. And Therefore, when it comes to council, we have a better understanding of why that item is there for council to make a decision on.
Now, you're talking about coordinator meetings, not advisory committee meetings. Advisory committee meetings, just so our audience understands, advisory committee meetings often are citizen-based appointed groups. A councillor usually is appointed to that group. There's minutes to the meetings. They're public meetings, and recommendations go forward from these to council. What you're talking about is coordinator meetings, which are usually staff people and politicians sitting in a room. There is no public. There are no sets of minutes being taken, and this is the kind of decisions that you're concerned about. Am I being correct on that?
Yes, you're totally correct, Rob.
Okay. I think that's an important thing because are there any advisory committees in Hamilton Township, and do your members sit on them?
Not to my knowledge, no. That there is committees there, the Accessibility Committee and that type of thing, and the Cold Springs Hall Committee.
Yeah.
They all move forward the business of the municipality through request, wanting money, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't believe there is any advisory committees.
Okay. Because, for example, in Cobourg and Port Hope, they'll have a planning advisory committee. There's a recreation advisory mm-hmm. committee. There's that's how the harbor stuff all started, et cetera, et cetera. So that type of transparent infrastructure doesn't exist where citizens can come forward.
The only advancement in that particular area is the CCHT and meeting with the mayor and the CAO. We've had two meetings, and that's as far as we're getting in that particular department.
But there is no municipal requirement that's, at the Planning Advisory Committee, they will make comments on sets of plans. The Committee of Adjustment mm-hmm. will pass or not pass a certain request. That's not what we're talking about here. There's no input. No. There's no recommendation.
No.
You sit down with the mayor, he can say, I like this idea or I don't like this idea.
Exactly.
I see.
Well, I want to thank my guests for being here, John Davison and Vince McGovern, discussing pertinent topics and issues related to CCHT, which is the Citizen Council of Hamilton Township. A lot of really interesting ideas we had. So you've got a quick thing to say.
One other thing, Dave. We with this hydro subcommittee that we're forming right now, we're really looking for some new membership to come out and join us. There's some quick links on our website, cchamiltontownship.ca. So that you can sign up and become members. We also have an AGM coming up September 11th
at Rhinos,
and if you're a member, you can pay to come to that as well. So we certainly promote any new membership, and we'll take your calls.
There you go. On September 11th, 2016, be at Rhinos from 8 to 10 a.m. at 5878 Rice Lake Drive in Bewdley. I'm Dave Glover. You've been listening to The Drive Time. We're going to let John Mellencamp take us out here.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
What I want.